Today on Real Radio.
The wrong kind of worship that is not according to spirit and truth can give you a real jolt up the spine and give you a real exciting sense. But you know what? When that service is over, the people left that place and they couldn't lead one person to Christ. They didn't even know what verse to go to.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. You know, of all the common threads we find in Scripture, one that is key is that when we approach the Almighty God Himself, we've got to do it on His terms, and only His terms. In the areas of priestly intercession, sacrifice, praying according to His will, and so on, the parameters required are strict, narrow, and of course divinely laid out for us in Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from one of these explicit passages, 1 Samuel chapter 13. It's a study called The Wrong Type of Worship.
It has nothing to do with ability. But you know what? There's someone who comes into the church and they say, you know what? I really want to serve in this area. And so here's my decision. Do I let them serve in the area, God, that you are supposedly calling them to, or should I go fix it? The natural temptation, you guys, is what? Go fix it. And this is the hardest thing in church, is to let it go. Just let it go. Just someone will see it in time. Well, the toilet's overflowing. There's times when God, I'm convinced of this. I remember years, this is in the 70s, the toilet was overflowing at Calvary Costa Mesa in between services. Chuck Smith in his suit. He took off his suit jacket, rolled up his shirt sleeve, and stuck his hand down the toilet and fixed it while the ushers and the assistant pastors watched him fix it. But you know what? That's his house. You would do it at your home, wouldn't you? But you see, and the thing, you know, you have kids. You like, the trash needs to go out. And it's a sad day when the kids look at the parents and say, you know, the trash needs to go out. No, don't you know that we gave birth to you to take out the trash? We feed you, we keep you healthy, we lock you in your room sometime, let you out to take the trash out. But ministry, listen, Saul's going to do it all. And so, listen, the wrong type of worship causes us to use the things of God. Look at verse 8. Using a ministry that isn't yours to use. Then Saul waited 7 days. Samuel didn't show up, so he makes the offering, he acts as a priest himself. Saul acts in the place of Samuel here. He begins to assume things of God to himself, and he's wrong. He's entered yet again another danger zone. The things of God becoming things and positions. It's a sad and sick day that a man called by God begins to assume that, you know what, I can just do it. You know, this is my show. I can do whatever I want to, not accountable to anybody. And I'm not only going to be king, I'm going to be priest also. And the people had no problem with that. That's sad. It's wrong. I think that happens, by the way, when a church, when a pastor, when a ministry loses the fear of the Lord, loses the beauty of worship and the things of the ministry, begin to be owned by the people. You ever seen that in a church? Get out of that pew. That's got my name on it. I donated that pew. I've been to a church that the pews have names on them. I think that is absolute. What is that for? It's wrong. The people were scattered from Saul. And he panics. His motive was wrong. Everybody could have said, look at Saul. Oh, he's worshiping. He's making an offering. But his motive, his heart was wrong. Man, you guys, the Lord's the only one who knows our hearts. You know that? I don't know your heart. I can't. You don't know mine. You can't. But are we worshiping him? We need to incline ourselves to worship. One of the things, one of the great dangers of using the things of God in this area of wrong worship is God grants power to people and using power to cover sin. Power to cover sin. It says in verses 10 through 12, now it happened as soon as he had finished the offering, the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he may greet him. Now watch this. This is a he's got some tap dancing shoes on here. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you didn't come within the days appointed and the Philistines had gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered burnt offerings. Do you hear that excuse? Isn't that elaborate? Well, first of all, the people are scattered, and you didn't show up on time. You hear that, people? Do you hear that? You didn't show up. The people are scattered. We're surrounded. And if I didn't make an offering, listen, if I didn't make an offering, they're going to kill me. That's what he's saying. Do you see how he may have been Saul, but he was not a shepherd for the people? Man, I got to do something. They were going to kill me. So I went through this whole deal. And besides, you were late, Samuel. Do you know people like this? Have you seen this happen in life? We've all seen this happen. He didn't fall on his face and say, oh, Samuel, please, you know what? I absolutely blew it. No, he's defending his situation. He did wrong. He knew wrong. And the sad thing is there are three fatal things that he did, in my opinion. Three fatal things. Number one, he assumed that the people would be stupid and not figure out what he was doing. I'll take care of it. The second thing is that he's probably thinking that it looks good to God. He had been so far removed from God because of lack of personal worship in his own private life that he's so removed from God, he's probably thinking, "And this will look good to God." He says, I got to make supplication to God. Like God is some kind of a dope. I can pull the wool over his eyes. The third horrible mistake that he makes here is what we mentioned earlier, is I can take care of this myself. You weren't here, Samuel? I did it myself. Listen, using power to cover sin, that's a dangerous thing. Notice the timing when it says here, as soon as he was done making the offering, Samuel shows up. Now listen, if you're faithless like Saul, you'll say God was setting him up. You can almost hear Saul say it. Hey, it's kind of funny you show up now. What is God setting me up? No. Or if you have faith like Samuel, you'd say, why didn't you trust God, Saul? You notice how it says here, as soon as he was done making the offering, Samuel shows up. God was in the whole deal. It's how do you take it? Where's your heart at in this? Poor Saul. As soon as he got done doing that, God sent Samuel, ruined his day. Situational ethics, situational Christianity. Samuel could have shown up and said, why don't you just wait on the Lord? You know, if you just waited on the Lord, you know, you guys, listen, we can run ahead of God and we'll get a bloody nose every time. I have never seen a Christian ever once get punished for waiting on God. Never. I've seen God stop the world almost. When a Christian waits upon him, that Christian's waiting to make sure that it's the Lord. And God will move heaven and earth in honor of that Christian waiting upon the Lord. I've never seen a Christian who waits upon God ever come up short, ever. But I've seen people who will not wait upon the Lord become very bloody, very broken, and very bitter. Power can corrupt, people say. And that's true if you live for power and influence and personal gain. But you know what? I want to say this. I think power can bless people if you live to be a conduit for God's work. I don't think there's anything sinful with power. Just like the Bible nowhere says that money's sinful. Did you know that? Money is not sinful. What is sinful? That's right. The love of money is sinful. The love of power is sinful. But these things in the hand of a worshiper of God is a powerful thing. We need to learn this. These actions come from an insecure man, and his insecurity will eat him alive. And the tragic thing about people like this is these insecure types of people leave in their wake broken-hearted people, used people, prostituted people, all for one man's ambition. This is Saul. And it's tragic. It's sad, though. It's too bad that more people can't handle wealth and power or money. Jesus tells us that if we'd be faithful in a little bit, we'd be faithful in more, you know. And finally, verses 17 to 23, we'll end with this. The wrong type of worship results ultimately in defeat. Some of this I'm going to weave in between personal observations that I saw many years ago. Wrong type of worship can ultimately lead to defeat this way, because wrong worship doesn't affect the heart of God. Saul, it says in verses 16 to 18, Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present were with them, remained in that location there. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Then look at verse 17, the raiders came out of the camp. And they are just, you could see these guys. They're dressed in black. They've got knives in their mouth probably, you know. They're rigged for battle. No doubt, very, very scary. And they're coming against the children of Israel. Watch this. What's tragic about this is I don't think that verses 16 and 18 ever needed to take place if they would have been consulting the Lord. When I say that the wrong type of worship is a danger because it doesn't affect the heart of God, what I'm saying is this. When we worship the Lord, now listen and understand that when we worship Him, it is not something that is to entertain us. But listen, and I hope you take this right. Our worship to God is not to entertain us, but you know what? In His goodness, it often does. Does that make sense? In our worship to God and of God, it's not something that's to excite us. But haven't you felt and haven't you experienced excitement in worshiping the Lord? Sure we have. That's a good thing. Let me thread this needle very carefully. When we worship the Lord, it's not to prepare our hearts. But doesn't it often prepare our hearts? Worship is not for us. It's all for Him. But He is so good that in an instant of time, He excites us. He entertains us. He touches our hearts, doesn't He? Listen, when the psalm says, come into His courts with praises and thankfulness and singing, don't think, well, you know, wait, we're supposed to come in and we're supposed to do... Wait. You're coming into His courts. Wait, it's His courts that alone spawns worship. You're coming in worshiping. Who? Him. Now, when we worship and when we go back to our normal mode of worship, will He touch our hearts? Yeah. Will we get excited? Yes. And even will it entertain us? Yes. Because He's good. And you can't, in my opinion, you can't put a stopwatch to this. But when we sing to Him, when He gets blessed, He brings it right back down on us. It's almost as though He cannot contain your singing. your love, your worship. When you bless him, he's blessed by it and spills it right back on top of your head. Truly, I believe that when we worship, we are entering the realm of the Spirit, truly, into eternity. Maybe I can put it this way. It either unlocks eternity before us or it brings eternity down among us when we worship. He gets blessed. We get excited. Last Sunday, I saw some people standing up. They're kind of like in this area over here. And the biggest smile on their faces, their hands were lifted up. And I was standing right over here and I saw them. You say, well, Jack, what were you looking for? I don't know. I was just looking. But I guess maybe God wanted me blessed because I looked at them and I said to myself, that is so cool. They're having a great time with the Lord. They're having a great time with the Lord. That's neat. I love that. You guys, we go to learn this from this passage and we'll be done. The wrong type of worship, verses 19 to the close, results in ultimately defeat because wrong worship is powerless. And finally, wrong worship leaves you helpless. What do I mean by that? I'm not going to name the place and in the movement and all that kind of stuff. It's some other world. But I remember years ago gathering at a place where we were all hearing, oh man, the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. And I do not deny that the Spirit of God was moving. But my wife and I went and we sat down at this tremendous gathering. And first thing was there was no Bible. I mean, people had Bibles, but there was no Bible teaching. There was great, great worship. And the guy would move around on the stage, and that's nothing wrong with that, but he would move around on the stage, and he would point to areas, and there were thousands of people there. He would point to areas, and he would say, "The Holy Spirit just came in the door. He just came in the door. Back over here, he's moving," and we're sitting there going, "Honestly, I was a new Christian. I'm looking." People were literally going, oh, and they were just shaking. And you could see almost like a line going through these thousands of people gathered. And it looked like a very slow motion lightning bolt going through the crowd. I mean, I couldn't see the light of it, but you could see the act of it. And people were falling down and people were like, whoa, you could hear people go, whoa. And I'm not knocking it as much as I'm wondering what's going on, what's happening. He said, Jack, you're being kind of critical. Well, hang on, I'm not done yet. Just wait a second. Seriously. The wrong kind of worship that is not according to spirit and truth can give you a real jolt up the spine and give you a real exciting sense. But you know what? When that service is over, the people left that place and they couldn't lead one person to Christ. They didn't even know what verse to go to. And when their world rocked with a death or unemployment or cancer, they didn't know one verse to go to. You know what they started to do? God, give me the feeling. God, let me know you're here. Let me know you're here, God. Give me the feeling. What happens when no feeling comes? You're ruined. You begin to think God's not with me anymore. It's not by feeling. But listen, Christian, do feelings come? Yes. But are you to base your existence between you and your God on feeling? No, you only thank him for the feeling. But you praise and worship him. Do you understand? It's very important. There is a wrong kind of worship. It is a worship that is truly self-centered. Man-centered worship. We would never admit it if it were going on in our lives, but it very well could be true. Very dangerous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called The Wrong Type of Worship. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, this being Friday, that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Ask Pastor Jack, a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org, askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. We try to pull Pastor Jack into the studio as much as we can, but occasionally you'll hear him give an answer from the pulpit, just like we're doing today. Here's the question. Dear Pastor Jack, I notice a lot of people, including Christians, like the symbol of the skull, tattoos, stickers, clothes. How does this fit together with the biblical worldview? Are they celebrating death? And should not believers celebrate life?
If you look at the book of Leviticus, if you're Jewish, you're forbidden to have markings. Did you know that? That's if you're Jewish. And you say, Mom, did you hear what he just said? I'm not a Jew, so I can get a tattoo. I'm not a Jew, so I can get a tattoo. No, listen, what's interesting is I've seen a Calvary Chapel logo recently, and it has actually the skull. And it's Skull Chapel. You say, that's satanic. Okay, well, Calvary means skull. You're sitting right now in Skull Chapel. Oh, so welcome, matey. Right? But markings, things like that, tattoo. Listen, this is a fine line. This is a thing of conscience. Because you need to really pray about something like that. Because you know what? I see people with tattoos. I see people with Jesus Loves Me tattoos. And I mean, personally, it doesn't bother me at all. Personally. And that doesn't mean they're possessed or, oh gosh, that guy was saved, but he got a tattoo. That's not going to happen. But what you do want to do is just be wise. I mean, there are people, look, all of us are so different. We're in a Calvary Chapel. We've all come from different backgrounds. We need to make sure that we exercise grace, love, and mercy toward each other. But look, here's the thing. If your parents are saying you can't have a tattoo and live under this roof, then listen, if you don't like that rule, then you can't eat food, use the hot water. I mean, come on. Move out and get your own tattoo. If mom and dad are saying no tattoo, then no tattoo. So, well, that's legalism. It's their house. If you don't like it, move out. But here's the thing. Think about the tattoo. What are you getting it for? And you'll have your argument, and that's fine. And you might say, it's Hebrew, and it's Yahweh. Okay, that's cool. You see, Pastor Jack, do you have any tattoos? Okay, well. No. No, because, listen. Because, and I'm really glad I don't, because you know what? I would have gotten them when I was young. And if I would have had a ship tattooed on my chest, it would have sunk by now. Remember, have you ever seen an old person with tattoos? You can't read a thing. Remember that. Young people, remember that. It's going to go away. It's not going to. So, conviction. Pray about that. What's the point? Well, I'm going to witness with it. Okay, just know. Someday it's going to fade and no one's going to be able to read what it says. Be wise. You have responsibilities regarding these decisions. Okay? If you're a practicing Jew, God says to the Jewish people, no tattoos for you. He does not, though, say Christians can have all the tattoos they want. Okay? I can't judge that. I just would say be wise. The peace sign, those are ancient, the peace sign's ancient Egyptian. Symbols of ancient gods. So you just got to be wise, you know? The swastika, by the way, predates Adolf Hitler, you know? That's Babylonian and Egyptian. Those kinds of things. You want to be careful about that kind of stuff.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on whether or not believers should be involved with wearing the symbol of the skull. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You may hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear it when we get him here in the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.